Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And this is the day after Christmas. What are you doing listening to me here? What is happening? This program is for December 26, 2020. And we're going to be looking at, this question of Jesus. I have to say to you, I want to admit this right off the bat. I get a ton of emails about the very subject I'm going to enter into today. And usually they are about people who are very religious, highly religious, to say the least, and obsessed is a better word. And I normally, just don't answer the questions and move along. Why? Because it causes so much controversy, and very few people could understand the point of view I have. So instead of kind of begging off this and escaping it, I thought, well, it's time to meet it head on, and what better time during the year to do this than Christmas, or, the weekend of Christmas. So here we go in all of this. I don't think you're going to be real pleased with me. I take a point of view of a more historic and, shall we say, spiritual approach. Let's just say that. When I was in India in the 70s, early 70s, I was privileged enough to meet Asians. These were people who have history with Jesus in the form that he was there during those quote-unquote lost years and did a lot of inner work there, making ready for himself to teach. And the Asians have a very strong, shall we say, history with him and chronology and documentation. Supposedly, I saw a document that had been around in the Asian lore for thousands of years that was supposedly, from what I've been told by them, written by Jesus' own hand. Whether or not that was true, I don't know. But what I do know is that their teachings coincide a great deal with the Asians' teachings. And they taught him things like Sanskrit and all of that. And if you listen to the language of Jesus and some of his very profound teachings, you will see that they coincide with Sanskrit. So I am going to share from that point of view, not from the typical Western point of view, and this will make a lot of people very angry at me. So I thought to end this year of pandemic and begin a new year of whatever it's going to be, what fun it would be for me to end on this kind of controversy. So here we go. Sometimes I have to check in with my counselor to make sure I have common sense. First question comes from Trapper in Texas. He asked me, he goes into a big deal about Bible stuff. And I want to say this to you, right off the bat. Don't think that people understand biblical stuff. It's all been translated and talked about in different ways, obscuring the meaning of a lot of things. And I had a really interesting Bible teacher. George Lomza was one of my teachers, and he was one of the most interesting men I have ever met. And his teachings, his insight, his knowledge of how the Bible was written is or was extremely controversial, but very, very authentic. So anyway, here's what Trapper asked me from Texas, Lubbock, by the way. Greg, do you believe in Jesus? Trapper, I don't believe in the man any more than I believe in you or me. If you are asking me, do I believe in what he taught, in the essence of his teachings, most definitely I do. And I feel that they go a lot deeper than Christianity can go. Christianity was built for people who are kind of looky-loos. They're simple-minded, pedestrian mentality. And these people are looking for a leader, someone to believe in, just like people have their political heroes and their sports heroes and their cinematic heroes, their comic heroes. Even I have a comic hero. So you look at it and think to yourself, why do people believe in Jesus? But you see, the average person, because they don't have the capacity to go within and really see the depths of the teachings that Jesus offers, simply miss the point of him entirely. Your question should not be about, do I believe in Jesus? But your question should really be about, what were the teachings of Jesus? And you're not going to ask that because it's probably not important to you. In lieu of understanding the depth of Jesus and his teachings, people just merely say they believe in Jesus. And that's as far as it goes. They're not going to go into the theory, the teachings, the practice. They're not going to go into it at all. They're going to simply spend time in the pedestrian mentality, camouflaging their beliefs and their negativities and all the other stuff that they have for the sake of saying they believe in a man who lived 2,000 years ago or more. And they don't even know this person. You can't know the person that was Jesus. Nobody can. You can assume, you can build it up in your mind and have fantasy about it, but that doesn't mean you know it. It just means you have fantasy about it. So, do I believe in Jesus? I believe in nothing. I am aware of what he was teaching, and I become more and more and more aware of his teachings as I live on in my own spiritual practice. You're looking for affection. You're looking for, congratulations, accolades, for the idea of believing in a man you don't even know. We build up in our minds the whole idea of people based on the fundamental bias we have, both in our genetics and even in our DNA. There is a bias there. So as long as we're living in the biases of our human body, we're going to miss the spiritual part, the part that is not tangible to the human mind, the human body. We're not going to see the metamorphosis and transformation and the transcendence of a teacher, Jesus, that is, who was offering to us total liberation. We're just not going to do it because we don't have the mental capacity for it. And we sacrifice our mental capacity for it, what I call our mental acuity, for the sake of emotionality and tradition and willfulness and pride and vanity. And Trapper, all of this stuff that I am talking about will not be relative to you. It just won't be. You're looking at it from the standpoint of words. I'm looking at it from the standpoint of the gap between the words. I'm not interested just in the words. I am interested in what he is linking with his words, leading us to truth. And he said a lot of very socially disparaging things. And most people don't hear them. They don't want to hear them because these teachings that offer insight but just kind of curse the way we live are not things that most people can withstand. He said, your greatest enemy are those of your own household. He said, if you don't hate your mother, your father, blah, blah, you cannot be my disciple. He talked about, let the dead bury their dead. Come and follow me. He said so many. Those are just a few of the things he said. So when you're looking at this man, he would be totally unacceptable to you. A lot of Christians don't even understand the Beatitudes, his basic teachings. They don't understand what he meant by blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst. They don't get it. Why? Because they are literal. And it's kind of like the way people think in terms of their political points of view. They want someone they can follow, that they can understand, that they can predict, that they can be better off for. And with all that being said, ouch. Ouch. So there you are. I hope that helps you with my point of view. I'm sure, being from Lubbock, Texas, that isn't going to change your point of view. And I don't think this discussion that I offered here was meant for that. It's just so you know, when you listen to me, or if you ever do again, you're not listening to someone who would be a church believer, okay? Not at all. I am not a church believer, but I love what he had to say. I practice a lot of what he had to say. I teach what he had to say. And it isn't easy. And if you find it easy in your mind to think you understand him, I can guarantee you, you are very wrong. Very, very wrong. All right, Trapper, forgive me, baby. This may be the only time you and I will ever meet here in the ethers. So I am grateful for your question and thank you. Again, please forgive me. Namaste. You know, this is a really big question for a lot of people. It really is. And the sad part is that it's never satisfying for them. It becomes a debate. People don't want to really know. They want to debate. They don't want to explore. They want to be contrary. They want to fight. So that's the way it is. Next one comes from Lindsay, and she lives in Kansas. And she says, do you think Jesus is alive in heaven watching over us, Lindsay? No, I don't. I don't even remotely think things like that. I don't need any religious figure that we have invented looking over me. What would he see, you know? I'm sitting here in my studio at 2:51 a.m. doing this radio program. What's he going to do? No. What you want, Lindsay, this comes from your DNA. You want a guardian. You want someone to protect you, and typically you want it to be a male because in your evaluation and in your DNA, males are the forerunners of your living, how you make a living, how you eat and have money and yada-da-yada-da and make babies and live in a family and blah, blah, blah. So you have to see that the male idea of Jesus is one thing. The female is another. In the male, it's about who leads, and the female, it's about who takes care of. And if you look at it from that point of view, it's all fictional. None of this is really true. But we like to think it is. It makes us feel special. It makes us feel safe. You're looking for some kind of safety that would help you think that you're not alone in this world. And women have a hard time, human beings have a hard time being alone. Men have man disease. They can't be alone. And women need someone to take care of them. They need someone to boss around and to do all of that stuff with. So there's your issues. And if you really look at it from that point of view, you understand that this is only important to you because of your DNA and how your genetics have circled the wagons around your DNA and made it look and appear to be what it isn't. So what to do? I mean, do you really want anything different? Do you want to really go into the teachings of Jesus, or do you just want to fantasize about those teachings, or fantasize about the man, I should really say? I don't think people want to hear what Jesus has to say. I really don't. I think they want to hear what is convenient for them and keeps them in the conventions of their conventional mind. And people want the idea that they have chosen the right leader at the right time to lead them into some heavenly place where everything is perfect and there is nothing to worry about, like the North Pole and Santa Claus. Where do you think that came from? We want the North Pole religious point of view where you can eat hot cookies and drink hot cocoa and you don't get burned, your mouth doesn't get burned, and everything tastes great and you just have a wonderful time. That's what we want. That's the way we are. We want everything sweet, fast, quick, easy. And so it's easy to build in people's minds when you stand before them. Believe me, it is. To spin yarns and think in terms of making up stories that comfort people, because people are very troubled. You must be very troubled, Lindsay. If someone like myself were to say to you or prove to you in some way that your fantasies about Jesus were not authentic or not real, I'm sure you would flip out, and I'm sure that would cause you a great deal of emotional distress. So you hang in there in yourself, in your society, in your family, and with your own personal beliefs that there is this heavenly place, and that's how you get through this life. Whatever gets us through is what we do. We're not much interested in the truth that sets us free. We want fantasies that get us through. So we have built many a fantasy around the man who lived 2,000 years ago. And yet, if you, as I said to Trapper, if you really listen to what he had to say, you would not like him at all. And here's what I would bet. I would say that most people who think they're true believers, if they knew the man and actually could walk with him and talk with him, as the song goes, which is a real neurotic fantasy, and listen to what he had to say, where he was sitting down and you were listening to him in his day, in his time, in his environment, you would have walked away and said the man was crazy. You would have. You would not have understood the Beatitudes. You wouldn't have understood what it meant to live what he would call a conscious life, a living life. You wouldn't have understood it. You wouldn't have wanted to. You would have wanted only to find something to believe in to get you through this world. And to think that all of your struggles and difficulties have some sort of reward at the end, and Jesus is your guy. And if you can't hear that and see the insanity of it, then you're too far gone for me to help you, or, and I'm sure you would even look at this and say, I don't want you to help me. I just want to believe what I believe, and that's what people do. So there you are, Lindsay. I'm not very fulfilling the day after Christmas, am I? Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm a voice, a quiet little voice in the wilderness here today. The last question comes from Lisa. She does not tell me where she lives. Is Jesus going to come back? Well, if he did, he would be very pissed. I can tell you that, as the old joke goes. Is he coming back? You mean in a human form and coming back as the man? I don't predict these things. I'm not a soothsayer. I don't see how that would happen any more than, you know, Trump would turn into a compassionate and giving man. I just don't see that. So, no, but his teachings live on in the hearts of those of us who have heard his word, who have heard what he was here for. He came not for the masses, but for the few. He came to reassure and awaken people who were looking for spiritual awakening, not religious belief. And the two are very separate and very different. Religious belief is about politics. It's about believing in things that simply aren't true. That's why you have to believe in them. If they were true, you wouldn't have to believe. You would just know. You would know the essence of it all. But you can't, because they weren't true. They weren't about what was real. And they were far-fetched, and you have to believe. So is Jesus going to come back? He'll come back, as it were, in the form of those who are awakened. He will come back in the form of consciousness, not as a man, but as a spiritual essence that lives in each and every one of us. And when the teachings of something like the teachings of Christ consciousness awaken someone, then you will see, you enter into a pool of not the collective, but the spiritual. You enter into consciousness, which is huge and has and is derived from love, absolute love. It is only in love that we find our eternity. It is only in love that we find our destiny. It is only in love that we find our fate. It is only in love that everything changes. So when you're looking at life from the point of view of meaning and substance, it is only through love that we enter into meaning and substance. Whether or not Jesus comes back in the physical and yells and screams at us, or says, you know, boy, you're all a bunch of sinners, whatever. You couldn't come back to this world. We wouldn't have a Jesus. We just wouldn't have it. We don't want something like that. We don't want that presence, that kind of loving presence in this world. We want fighters now. We're in the Kali Yuga stage, and this is a very difficult one. We've put ourselves through a great deal this year, a great deal, and none of it has been wonderful. We have been fighting amongst ourselves. We can't even care for one another, and for there to be any sense of value and meaning and consciousness in this world, it won't be found in how we live our life according to the dictates of religion. It will be according to the way of the heart. I want you to remember something, Lisa. Goodness is always, always preceded by mercy. I'm out of here. Hope that helped. Well, forgive me, all of you. I'll be back on the air tomorrow with something maybe a little more civilized for you, less well, less contradictory, let's say. Have a wonderful, wonderful day after Christmas, and please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.